Good morning. We're so glad to have all of you with us today, and I'm glad to have you celebrating the Lord's resurrection from the dead on this Lord's Day. With us there, these are the services of First Baptist Church of Petoskey, and you're listening to 1270 AM and 102.3 FM, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. Tom, come and lead us in our first hymn.
Good morning. Everyone, please stand. Turn to 216. We'd like to have Fran Oldham and Carrie Crawford, please. Or should I say Jake?
Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone from the door and sat on it.
His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men.
But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Behold, I have told you."
So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
Or do you not know as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we would walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin.
Now if we died in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God.
Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Thank you guys for that. Appreciate that. To set the tone for today, to help us understand where we're going and what this is all going to be about, I received a phone call this week that is typical of many of the phone calls I get each week. And it was from a girl who told me that she was pregnant. She was on disability and her fiance's unemployment ran out and she needed help with something. The longer you think about that, the sadder that gets. Because that's not atypical, that's typical today. She's living with a fiancé who is not her fiancé. A fiancé is when you have a date set. He is her boyfriend. He calls her his girlfriend. I have seen this too often. But the girl, desperately hoping for marriage, calls and shame from living with someone, calls that person her fiancé. We know that probably these relationships have statistically have a low, very low survival rate, and that the man who helps her raise that boy is not going to be that boy's father if that little baby is able to stay with that family. I know, and again, the man's unemployment ran out. That means he had a long time to look for another job, and he'd rather call a church and have his wife, his girlfriend, call a church than to go get a job. I remember my friend Lonnie several years ago had a record, and he had some hard things. And he said to me, though, you know, I'm trying to get my life right. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm going to start at one end of town. I'm going to walk all the way to the other town and end of town and visit every single establishment until I find a job. At the first place he stopped, he got a job. It is possible to get a job today if you want a job today. Our government, though, pays girls to have a baby without a husband. And that is only going and has been destroying families. That is a tragedy that is ongoing. These people are, of course, not in a church because a church might say, you're not doing quite the right thing. I never get a phone call saying, hey, can you have some wisdom on how to do financial principles? Because I seem to have a lot of desires that I can't pay for, and I keep getting myself into trouble. I've never gotten that call. I've never gotten a call saying, I need wisdom. I'd like joy. I'd like to know God better. I don't get those calls. I get, do you have $100 calls? Our society is degrading around us. I went to visit my children and my little grandchild 3 weeks ago, and I told you, you know, he's not too smart. Well, they came up for the weekend just yesterday, and I'm glad to report that, you know, now he's speaking in short sentences and, you know, able to stand and walk and stuff, and so, you know, he's coming along. What world will my grandson find when he is 20? You have to ask yourself what road you're going down as a society, as a person, as an individual, as a couple. Where does this road lead? And if our government had been asking that question for the last 40 years, we wouldn't be where we are now. Well, is there any hope that our country can ever produce again people of courage, people of commitment, people of persistence, people who will work toward a lofty goal, people of compassion, and people of intelligence? Is there any hope for our country? Yes. We have a risen Savior who can raise us, who wants to raise us from our desires and our sloth. Peter said to the blind man, he said, or to the lame man on the temple steps, he said, silver and gold I don't have any of, but I do know Jesus, and I'd like to introduce you to Jesus. Today we will have a wonderful celebration of the things that God has done in our lives and offer them to all who don't have them. The key is Jesus, a Savior who can raise us, who wants to raise us from our sins, from our needs. Bill, will you come and share with us what the Lord has done in your life?
Good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. That's what it is, you know. 33 some odd years ago, a miracle happened. I found my Savior. He's mine. I found him. He saved me. He promised me eternal life. He's done for me what nothing else could do. He gave me the peace of mind, the rest, the assurance that someday I'm going to be with him. And there's three parts of Scripture that go along with this. John 3:16, where Christ died for us because he loved us so much. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1-5, the complete resurrection, where he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Then in John 5:13, it says, and you can know if you study the rest of the Scriptures and believe. And that's the whole thing, to believe that God died for you and he come to save you. That's the whole doctrine of the Bible, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Tom Frascone, will you come and share with us this morning?
Also, happy Resurrection Day. Romans 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. What was Jesus' legacy to us as we celebrate his resurrection today? He freed us from slavery to our sin. There are several reasons which people are going to talk about throughout this morning, but the one I'm going to cover is so that we could be free to live as he did. And how did he live? Mark 10:45 says, he came to serve, not to be served. We are free from serving our own selfish desires. Giuseppe Frascone is a very important man to me. He is my great-grandfather. And for many years, he served his own selfish desires. And he did that by serving in the mafia. Many people that I tell this story to, they're enamored with the fact that he was in the mafia, but they really miss the essence of his life story. See, one day somebody shared the gospel with my great-grandfather, and he accepted, and he became a believer. Now, those that know anything about the mafia know that you don't usually get freedom from the mafia without very negative effects. But God protected him. And he went from serving himself to serving others. See, he's not the only one. There's another gentleman. And see, he was already a believer, but he had a problem that some of us get that when we are believers. We don't understand our freedom and we don't live in it. And this gentleman continued to serve his own self for a long time. And in the process, he hurt the very people he loved. Now, how often do we do that? We continue to live to our own self, but the Bible says we are free from that old self. But God was not done with him, and he continued to transform him. We'll discuss that in a second. What were both those men's legacies? This book is also important to me. This is not a Bible, but it's not what's in this book. It's what it symbolizes. This book has been handed down through the generations in my family, and one day I will hand them down to my son. This book is a symbolism of the legacy my great-grandfather left us. From serving his old sin nature to serving others. Because my great-grandfather eventually became a pastor for a needy community of Italian immigrants who did not speak English. And this hymn book is completely in Italian from the church that he used to pastor. This other gentleman, he also has a legacy that he has handed down from generation to generation. And I'd venture to say virtually everyone in this room has read his book. For that man is Mark, and he wrote the Gospel of Mark. Now, ironically, here he was serving his own selfish ambition, yet he was able to write towards the end, the Gospel of Mark, or the Gospel of Jesus the Servant. So my question is, what will your legacy be? If you're not a believer and you choose not to become one, your legacy will be to remain forever a slave to your sin. But Christ died not just for my great-grandfather, not just for Mark. He also died for you. He's offering you that freedom. If you're a believer, will you live in the freedom that you already possess? I challenge you to serve Christ. He has empowered you to do so. And as my great-grandfather would say, Vita de Jesus, Jesus lives. Thank you, Beth and Sharon, for that ministry. John Holloway, would you please come and share with us?
Good morning, everyone. He has risen. He has risen indeed. We have a Savior that beats the cross. We have a Savior that beats the grave. He did that for us. He made a personal choice to beat the cross and the grave to take us to be closer to his Father in heaven. Amen on that one. 14 years ago, as a person, I had to make a choice to go from being a believer to being a follower. To being a follower with God, I was at a retreat in Emmaus Walk, rightfully the road to Emmaus. It was a decision we sat around as a group of men that night to go beyond professing on our lips to be professing on our heart is God our Savior. Are we going to choose to take a deeper walk with him? Are we going to put away our pride? Are we going to put away our selfishness? 14 years ago, I was in a job where I told everybody I was a Christian, but I wasn't following Jesus. My heart wasn't there with God where it should have been, and I lost that job. And the man that I worked with the next day said, you're going to the Emmaus Walk. This is your time to follow the Lord. I went in 3 days before this walk, not really wanting to be there. I told everybody I loved Jesus and I made Jesus my Savior, but on that walk, I had a chance to come to the cross and lay my sin down and accept God for that Savior. It changed my life forever. I don't worry about what's going to happen the next day. Yes, there's worry in my life, but with a personal relationship with my Savior who beat the grave and who beat that cross, I know where my faith is. And that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that, John. Keith Greenwald, please come and share with us what God has laid on your heart.
The old man, Romans 6, 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 7, Romans 6, for he who has died has been freed from sin. What is this old man that Paul is talking about in these verses? Well, the old man is that part of us that is filled with the desire to rebel against God. Before we were saved, the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. The old nature is our old sins that Jesus took upon himself when he died on the cross. The old man is also called our old sin nature because the old man was crucified as Christ. He is gone and he's not coming back. In place of the old man, God gives a believer a new man or a new nature that wants to please God and obey him. So when a person trusts Christ as Savior, he gets rid of the old man, the old life of sin, the old nature. And through believing in Christ's resurrection, spiritually he receives a new life, a new nature. You know, instead of living as people free from sin, many times we continue to live like we are slaves to the old man in our sins. Well, why is that? Well, for one reason, maybe we believe, maybe we just don't believe it. It's too good to be true. Maybe we feel well, we just don't deserve it. My sin was too awful. It'll be my burden on my back forever. Other reasons? We didn't do anything to get rid of our sin, our old sins. Well, you know, that's true because Christ did all the work for us. We think something that is that wonderful can't possibly be free. But the Bible teaches that freedom from sins is free for the asking because of Christ, what Christ did on the cross. Let's look at Levi the tax collector for a minute. In Luke 5:27, we see how Jesus, after he healed the paralyzed man, he saw Levi, a tax collector, at his tax booth. Now, tax collectors were notoriously corrupt and greedy back in Bible times. They forced people to pay more taxes than they actually owed, and they pocketed the rest. Unfortunately, the people had no option but to pay whatever the tax collector told them was due, because if they didn't pay, the Roman soldiers were standing nearby to enforce the rules. Well, Jesus walked up to Levi, the tax collector, and he said, "Follow me." Well, Levi didn't hesitate or look back. He just left his job, his security, and his wealth, and followed Jesus to face a life of poverty and uncertainty. The Bible says later that Levi threw a great farewell feast and invited his friends, many of whom were tax collectors, because he wanted them to meet Jesus and to hear firsthand how they could have their sins forgiven by turning their lives over to him. And later on, Levi's name was changed to Matthew. He became one of the 12 apostles, and he wrote the Gospel of Matthew. We don't know for sure if Matthew actually had a problem with his old sins, but we do know that his life was radically changed in response to a call from Jesus. From that time on, instead of collecting taxes and cheating people, he collected souls for the Lord. John Bunyan, author of Pilgrim's Progress, had many doubts, temptations, and feelings of guilt for many years after accepting Christ. Was he really saved? Was he really free from the old man and the old sin nature? His thoughts of inadequacy were giving him grief and were hurting his effectiveness for the Lord. So what did he do to help fix this problem? Well, all those years of torment forced him to just get into the Word of God and digest the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Faithfully, he read and studied the Bible. And finally, he was able to preach and tell others about Christ truthfully and with supreme confidence. And later on, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Probably heard of Pilgrim's Progress. I'd recommend reading it if you haven't read it yet. It's second only to the Bible in the number of copies sold. Bill Robertson from Duck Dynasty had a terrible drinking problem. In fact, his lifestyle was ruining his marriage and family life. Eventually, his wife and his three little boys left him. After more struggles, he finally got saved and baptized. Phil was finally free from his old sin. The old man was gone. He received a new life, this new nature. But even though he had turned his life over to the Lord, according to Phil, it took him about 5 years before the pull of his old sins finally stopped. What helped him? Well, he attended services at his local church at least twice a week. He read and studied his Bible alone or in small groups. He was just determined he was going to become a scholar of the Bible so one day he might spread God's word to other people who needed help like he did. So we're not perfect. We're going to let the memory of our old sins, the old man, bother us from time to time. It's just going to happen. We may feel discouraged, guilty, or depressed. I feel that the remedy for this problem is to read and study the Bible on a regular basis. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against God."
Thank you, Keith. Everyone, please stand. We will be singing verses 1 and 3.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye and earth reply, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, Alleluia.
Before you're seated, go around and say hi to everyone. You've joined the fellowship service, broadcast live on WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM, a First Baptist Church located on the corner of Wakazoo and Michigan Streets in Petoskey. We are a regular Baptist church committed to understanding God's Word and following Jesus. If that is important to you, you'd enjoy fellowshipping with us. The Bible is the most important work of literature in the history of the world, written by God through men as he moved them. We'd love to have you come study it together with us. If you're in the area, stop in and get to know us. For those of you that have joined us during our service after we started, we'd like to welcome you to First Baptist Church of Petoskey. This is our Resurrection Sunday service, and we'd like to continue. We are having several people throughout our church give their testimony and also to say what God has on their heart. And now we'd like to hear from Ted Oldham.
Not really that you want to hear from me. That's probably not what you're all thinking. But happy Resurrection Day. It means a lot. From here to here. And you know, we all know in here that God died for us. And we have a job to do after we're saved. We need to build. We need to build this. We need to go out and do his work. And that's what God told us to do. You know, there's a story I want to tell you. You guys all know the Masters. Masters Golf Tournament, probably one of the biggest tournaments of the year. Bernard Langer was asked after he won it. He says, how do you feel that you won it? How excited are you? He says, you know what I'm excited about? This Sunday is Easter. And I get to celebrate God's resurrection. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. And it's great that we do get to celebrate. And now we will have Duke Munson come and speak what God has laid on your heart.
Good morning. Well, being a Christian, being alive in Christ, has totally redefined my life. Totally changed it. The way I view people, the way I look at things, the way I look at my life here on earth. Totally different. And it's a good difference, because we think about eternity to come. Knowing the depths of Christ's love for me changes everything. Every thought I have is more directed towards eternity. As a kid, I always loved the story about David and Goliath. You know, David would run down the ravine and Goliath is at the bottom mocking him and telling him he's going to make a short life of him really soon. And David slings a stone and kills Goliath, and down he goes. And he runs up to Goliath and takes the sword of the giant out of his scabbard and chops his head off. And I loved that part. Just because I was a kid and I was that way, and that story still means a lot to me. But the point is, he made sure he was dead. And as active believers, we need to start knocking off our sins and our sin life and making sure those doors to Satan are closed, that they're dead. Well, growing up in this church, I had a Sunday school teacher named Mrs. Lebke who scared me to death. Okay? She was short and unassuming, but there's something about her that she had my total respect. And I remember her saying, Duke Munson, you need to memorize scripture. And I went, oh, that sounds like work. I don't want to memorize scripture. But I always remember Mrs. Lebke. About 38 years later, it finally kicked in. And one day I said, I need to memorize scripture. I want to humbly tell you that that advice that Mrs. Lebke gave me so long ago has totally redefined who I am. If you put scripture in your head, that's the spot where Satan's going to attack you in the mind. It's like putting mind armor right up there. Think about Jesus in the wilderness. When Satan tempted him, what did he use? Scripture. So I'm trying to armor my mind with scripture, and I'm horrible at remembering things. My wife can attest to that. So I have to practice it often. Also, memorizing scripture sets God's word in my heart. Okay? And I think about it day and night. Sometimes I lay in bed awake at night and I just try to go over and over, because I need a lot of repetition, those verses. And they strengthen me, and they like guide me. They give me a roadmap of where I ought to go as a Christian. So I would recommend to you highly what Mrs. Lebke had me do. Memorize scripture. A couple other quick little things. Something I've learned to try to do with that scripture is, for example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Sometimes I insert myself in there. For God so loved me, it makes it a lot more intimate. And there's another one that I just ran across this week, and I've known this verse forever, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant. Duke Munson for the devil. You know, it goes on to say he's out there and he's going to get you. And if sometimes if you put yourself in these scriptures, it draws you so much closer to God, and you realize he's not just talking to the whole world. He's talking to you on an intimate level, as if you're walking with Christ, just you and him, and you're having a conversation together. Well, I want to kind of wrap things up here. For years, I would say to myself, I don't have time to have a quiet time with God. I'm a busy guy. You know, I got school to prepare for. I got things to do. And I would wake up in the morning early, and I was a fanatic. I would watch the farm news at 4:30. I was a school teacher. Why am I watching the farm news? Then I would watch the next news. Then I would watch the next news after that. I was like a news junkie, I guess. One day I was walking to school, getting ready in my mind for the day, and my mind thoughts were intruded, I presume, by the Holy Spirit. And he said, Duke, why do you watch the farm news? I said, I don't know. I like it. He said, do you need to watch the farm news? Are you going to be a farmer? No. Do you care how high the corn is going to grow this year? No. Why don't you just drop the farm news and do a little quiet time during that half-hour segment? And I said, that's brilliant. I can do that. I can only tell you that that has transformed my life. Except the problem was my mind wandered. As I read scriptures, my mind was all over. I'd end up singing songs in my head. So I started taking notes while I do my quiet time, and it has helped immensely. It keeps me focused. It helps me be more investigative. It's really a good thing. I would urge you to do this. And finally, forgive yourself. As you're an active Christian, you know, Satan is going to target you because he fears you, because you're doing something for the kingdom of God. If you're not an active Christian, he's got you right where he wants you. You're not doing anything anyways, so why should he be afraid of you? But if you're walking tightly with Christ, he's going to come against you. And there will be times when you fail. You will fail Christ. Forgive yourself. It's okay. He's already forgiven you. What you need to do is grasp a hold of that unquenchable hope that he offers us. And you keep hammering away. Try, and try again until you succeed.
Thank you, Keith Greenwald. Victory in Jesus. Isn't it great we get to celebrate victory today? This is not a day of loss. This is a day of victory. And Dan Bentley, please come share with us.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I'm thinking how I'm so thankful that God is the God of the living. I think for years I was a young man. I knew about the Bible. I'd read here and there, but I always thought that, you know, once you die, then you deal with God and you talk to him and you convince him that you weren't such a bad person. So I spent a lot of years just wandering in my own self-will and pride and I got to about 24 years of age, and I was filled with despair and hopeless. It's hard to describe. I think I spent a lot of years just fighting with the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit was constantly convicting and drawing me to Himself, and I just was like, it just seemed so unreal. And then one moment, in a moment of despair and just praying, God showed me that He was the creator of the universe. Jesus was Lord, and He was the creator. And it was a real eye-opener, and I just remember thinking, wow. And at that moment, my life turned around, and I knew that God was the God of the living, and that when I die, and before I even die, I can walk with God. And it changed my life, and I'm thankful to God this day, knowing that He'll continue to guide me, and He's done so many wonderful things in my life. And I just remember, you know, like one of my favorite verses in Philippians that says that He has begun a good work in you, is faithful to complete it until Jesus Christ. And I stick with it. It's always a good reminder, because, you know, it's not my will, it's His will, and He's guiding me like a shepherd.
Thank you, Dan. And now we will hear from Fred Hummel.
As a Christian, Jesus Christ's death, resurrection has changed who we are. I want to examine this through the lens of Romans chapter 6, verse 11. As Paul was describing the various aspects of the Christian life to the believers in Rome. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The first word I want to look at is the word "reckon" here. It is an accounting term that means to render debts and credits in an account to zero. Each of us has done this with our federal and state taxes just in the past month or so. If we paid more taxes than what was required, we got a refund. But if we owe taxes, we must pay some more. The net outcome is a zero balance on taxes between us and the government as we start the new year. Likewise, as a believer, our sin debt has been paid. The bill that we could never pay has been put to death. It has been paid with Jesus' death on the cross, and it's no longer a burden. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we now have a new life, free of that old burden, and we can invest in a new life devoted to God. Paul used the words of dead and alive to contrast the former life of sin to the new life. When we think of something as dead, we think of it can't move, it can't grow, it can't reproduce, it can't interact, it decays. On the other hand, something that is alive can move. It grows, it reproduces, it can interact with people, and it can be transformed. So what is Paul saying here about being dead to sin? He is saying to Christians, you must realize that you no longer are bound by the world's way of doing things. The world uses greed, lust as a motivator. It uses fear to control, extortion to manipulate. It also uses deception, lies, and half-truths to implement policy. The world uses philosophies such as the end justifies the means, survival of the fittest, self-centeredness, situation ethics, do what feels good to you to justify unethical actions. He's saying, Christians, stop living by the world standard. It is no longer your slave master. You have been given a new life to live, to be alive to God. So what is being alive to God? It is true, a believer gets forgiveness, goes to heaven, and has the indwelling Holy Spirit as a guide. But the Christian life is so much more. A Christian is a person who's being totally transformed into a person who they were not. A Christian from the time of conversion is declared a saint in God's eyes. He's a child of God, member of his family. He is truly a free man. The Bible says he's a child of light, which is a testimony of what is true, of what is good, and what is kind. He is a citizen of heaven, and he is a friend of God. We are the focus of God's love, his passion, and his security. The Bible speaks of us as that we are a new creation. But we know that Christians are persecuted throughout the world by governments, media, and public opinion. The main reasons for this is that Christians can no longer be controlled by the world's methods. They have freedom that the world does not understand and cannot take away. Christians exposed by righteous living show what corruption and unethical behavior is, shows what good and true is holy is. As a Christian, we can take courage under trials that we are under the watchful eye of our God, our Savior and friend. It's like living in a tank. We are protected from the world by God. By being alive for God, nothing can happen to us without God's knowledge or permission. Even in death, God is with us. In eternity, we shall receive praise from God to receive that quote, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It is only when we choose to put ourselves outside of God's influence that the missiles and bombs of doubt, shame, and regret can harm us. But Christians are not perfect. We do sin. The difference is that we hate ourselves when we do sin. As John Newton, the Christian songwriter of Amazing Grace, stated about falling into sin and being alive to God, stated, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But by the cross of Jesus Christ, and I will add, and his resurrection, I am not what I was." That is a sign of a transformed life, a life that is alive unto God.
Thank you, Fred. Everyone, please stand. We'll be singing the first three verses of 554.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Away to
be seated. And now we'd like to welcome Don Huey.
I'm going to try and save a little time for the pastor, but I better take my ears off. I come up in a poor family, and I did some pretty bad things. I was quite a wild kid. I first started going to church because of my lovely wife. I went to school with her. She was in the choir, and so I went to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night. Then we were married. I went to Lansing, and I started worrying. I had kids. I had to do things, so I decided, I guess, to follow the world. And I followed the world for, maybe 10, 15 years. And I left that job because I got disgusted with it. I was a supervisor for General Motors. So we decided to move to Petoskey. And I come to Petoskey, and we were going to church, but I wasn't a Christian. I was going to church. I prayed, taught Sunday school. I should have never took the job, I guess, but one day I was smoking, and I went to the pastor and told him, I said, I don't think I should be teaching Sunday school. I said, I'm a smoker. I've tried to quit, and I can't. I said, and I don't know what to do. And he said, well, quit then. I said, man, did he just tell me to quit teaching Sunday school? So I did. I quit teaching Sunday school. And then I started drifting further and further away from God. And after I quit my job, I moved here to Petoskey and went to one church. Didn't work out because I wouldn't change. And so I went back to the world, you might say, for 10, 12 years. And we moved back to Petoskey, and I come to see the pastor. And I told my wife, we talked. I said, I want to start going back to church. And she said, all right. I said, should we go back to Harbor, or should we try Par Memorial? Well, Par Memorial, Carl Crawford, and I thought Ida Crawford was here, and I held more respect for her than I did anybody. And so anyway, I talked to the pastor, and the pastor told me, he said, your problem is forgive yourself. Forget everything that's in the past, because that's already been paid for. And I said to myself, I didn't say it to him, I said to myself, I'm so bad at, they don't know. God's not going to forgive me. And I talked to the pastor a couple times. I had some people steal some pretty big money from me. It was pretty hard for me to forgive them. And so we started coming to church. I'll make it as short as I can. I started coming to church here, and everything was going pretty good. And then all of a sudden, one of the members left. And I thought, man, why in the world would he leave? But I stayed, and I thought, I don't know whether God's going to forgive me or not, but I know he won't forgive me until I ask him. And I asked God to forgive me and come into my heart. He has. He's been there now for about 15, 16 years. And I love that woman back there more today than I did the day I married her. I mean, she is in my heart. And if I was to die when I step down off of here, I know that she loves me, and I love her, and it'll be in my heart. Now, that's the story shortly of my life. But I want to say one more thing. I made more friends at the Highlands than the 7-8 years that I was going to church here, we went up to the Highlands and we had a blast. I got to know everybody as a friend in there, and I can look down here and see them now. And I want to tell you all, I love you. That's my story.
Thanks, Don. And now we have Bert. Would you please come join us?
We're about to go off the air, and so those of you who are listening on the radio, we're so glad to have you with us this brief time. And so we're going to, after we're done here, we're going to have a couple snacks. And so you can't do that because you're not here, hey? But we do invite you to come join us sometime for the Word and all the meat and the joy that the Word gives our hearts. Bart, come and share with us what's on your heart.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 8 says that if we die in Christ, we shall also live in Christ. What in the world does that mean? If we die in Christ, what does that mean? If we die and we are a Christian, if we die and we are saved, we've accepted Christ as our Savior, then we are in Christ when we die, right? Amen. Then it says, we shall also live with him. What does that mean? Well, Jesus came to this earth, and he died and then rose again the third day. That's what this day is all about, right? It's Resurrection Sunday. So he was resurrected. So if we die and we are in Christ, then we know, because it says we shall also live with him, that we will be resurrected. And then we can live with him. Well, where does he live? He lives in heaven, right? So that means we're going to heaven. What's so special about heaven anyhow? What's the big deal about heaven? Well, let's see. We remember there's streets of gold, right? There's so much gold that they just use it as asphalt. Mm-hmm. There's wealth that we can't possibly fathom or even imagine. But what I like to focus on a little more basic level, what's something that we all deal with on a day-by-day basis? Some of us deal with pain. Every day we have pain in our lives. Will there be any pain in heaven? No, there'll be no pain. There'll be no headaches in heaven. There'll be no backaches. There'll be no allergies, asthma. Even bigger, there will be no cancer. There will be no gout. There will be a lot of the disabilitating things that we have. There will not be in heaven. There'll be no pain in heaven. Let's go to relationships. That's a biggie. If anyone ever heard you say, I hate you? Has anyone ever said that to you? Or I hate this, or I hate that, or I hate this person, or that thing. There will be no hatred in heaven. Mm-hmm. Have you ever worried about something that you didn't have control over? Whether it was a bill, whether it was an ache or a pain that you couldn't quite understand, you couldn't quite explain, didn't know what it was, so you worried about it. Whether it was, what does tomorrow bring? What's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen when I retire? There's a million things that go through our mind that we worry about. Will there be any worry in heaven? Be no worry in heaven. That sounds pretty nice. Back to the verse. It says, if we die in Christ, then we shall live with Christ. What if we don't die in Christ? What if we die without Christ? Then we're not going to live with Christ. What's the alternative to heaven? Hell, right? Is there any pain in hell? There is constant, nonstop, every second of every day for eternity, pain in hell. Will there be any hatred in hell? Will there be any worry in hell? All of those things will be in hell. That's all there'll be in hell. Every person who's ever walked the face of this planet has a choice to make. You can choose to accept Christ, or you can choose to reject Christ. If you choose not to decide, you have made your choice. If you choose to ignore the choice, you've made your choice. If you choose to put it off till later, you might not have a later. A friend of mine dropped dead of a massive heart attack. He was at work, and this was just last week. He was on the job, and a friend turned around. He was laying on the ground. They were just talking. Another guy walked away. He turned around. The guy was laying on the ground. He was dead before he hit the ground. I don't think that's what he had planned for the day. And that's a lot of the times the way death works for us. We may not have the opportunity to wait till later. Each one of us has a choice. We can choose peace, joy, and love, or we can choose pain, hatred, and worry. That's the choice.
Thank you, Bart. Well, I wanted to sing this morning briefly a song about the friendship of God for us, but I wanted to pick one that was older. Because this, you know, why do people not turn to God? Well, they don't want him to run their lives. But they also oftentimes don't believe that he really likes them. That he really cares about them. That he's going to tell them stuff to do that isn't fun. And that he's going to keep them from doing stuff that is fun. And that is just not good relationship for them. Well, Charles Wesley wrote this song, 300 years ago? Has been an ongoing struggle for people. This is an old song about how much Jesus cares about you. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly.
Thou of life the
content art. Freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Amen. Beth, if you come and share with us your testimony.
Hallelujah, he is risen. Bet. I have lived in Petoskey 27 years. I grew up in Grand Rapids in a godly Christian home. I accepted Christ as my Savior in Bible school at age 7. I went to a Christian college. I married a Christian man, had 4 beautiful children, and was happiest serving Jesus in Sunday school, choir, and Awana. And then the roller coaster of life happened. Open heart surgery on my 10-month son, abandonment from my very much loved one, financial difficulties, teenage rebellion, more medical concerns, and it always was crystal clear. Christ is the friend in the roller coaster seat with me. Heart surgery, he provided the best pediatric cardiac surgeon in the state with no cost to me. Lord, I don't want a divorce. Beth, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, this is too hard. How can I make this work? Beth, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jesus, my kids and I are hurting. Beth, the peace I give you is not as the world gives. Jesus is the answer to all my questions. He is always present, always available. He allows me to laugh and delights in doing impossible things, sometimes with a reluctant partner. Jesus gives me hope, love, a purpose for living, and eternal life. He presents me to the Heavenly Father and says, I died for Beth, so she may live. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Beth. And now we will hear from Dave Dickinson.
I titled this one, A Life of Grace. And after Beth's message just now, I see what a life of grace is. Mm-hmm. We are risen to a life of grace. As we are forgiven, so we forgive. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. We are forgiven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are forgiven. Paul had problems with the families of the people that he persecuted. And yet, when Paul was forgiven, and once trust was established, they both rejoiced. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do as a church family. Mm-hmm. Have you ever fought and been reconciled of something? And it's amazing how that goes and how that person becomes valuable in your life. Mm-hmm. The peace that comes from being forgiven. Mm-hmm. Never realized before that it's something you can give. The peace of forgiveness in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then the peace we find in our hearts, because it feels good to be forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God's for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The conflict between John Mark and Paul. Because John Mark, on the first missionary journey, when things got difficult, left. And Paul lost his trust in Mark. Mm-hmm. And we found out today that Mark was the author of the book of Mark. And isn't it amazing what comes out of a conflict? that these men would have had could have been a disaster, and yet they worked together. And it's absolutely amazing how John Mark later, or Paul later, says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And that was in 2 Timothy 4:11. So it's good to have a life, that it's a life of grace. When I was in the first grade, I had this Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Benjamin, and she took the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and put my name in it. And I knew that God saw me. God was going to be with me throughout my life. And there's many toils and many things that have gone on in my life that I see God's grace in. O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you to everyone who has spoken today. And now we have another scripture from Jake and Carrie.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
O death, where is your sting?
O Hades, where is your victory?
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Everyone, please stand. pastor, please come.
Well, I started out the morning service with an illustration of some of the folk that are struggling with people around, problems around us. And you know, all of us make dumb decisions, and all of us have lonely times, and all of us have done silly things with ourselves. And we're not critical of the people that need help around us or that made foolish decisions around us, but our hearts break for them, huh? And our hearts break for people that are going it alone. And they don't know who God is. They don't know, you know, the Ephesians 1, and they don't know the gospel story. And they need to. They need to. And so that's what we're offering today. And, of course, we're offering a friend who will listen during a trial and clean your heart when it needs cleaning and give you wisdom when you don't know what to do, and be only, always, only a prayer away. Heavenly Father, we lift up now the folk on the radio who have left us, and we lift up the folk that are here, that are still here. We pray, Heavenly Father, help us to rejoice in the wonderful gift of life that you raised your Son to give us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are risen with him indeed, that we have a new life and a new hope and a hope of glory in us all the way until final eternity. Heavenly Father, help us to seek your face in all these things and all the problems that we face. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Yes. We're going to do the announcements and the offering now. That's not him. You got him? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, just for some quick announcements. If you intend on sending one of your children to camp, or all of your children, please see the pastor if you're interested in your child memorizing verses to help with scholarship money for camp. There are a couple of us who are going to home plate that don't know if they have the day off yet. I would be one of them. We are going to wait a little while until we finalize rides. Remember, the day is May 10th. There is no evening fellowship. We have a lot of visiting families, and we'd like people to be able to spend some time with their families. And you are invited to the fellowship room, as the pastor mentioned earlier, in the rear for the auditorium for a few minutes after the service. And Dave, would you please, and if you get a chance, visit Miss Carrie at Bort. She is in room 111. I did see her yesterday. She was in pretty good spirits, and she would love to have you visit her. And Dave, could you please pray for the offering?
Loving Father, we thank you for your gift to us. We pray, Father, your blessing upon this offering, each gift and each giver. And Father, we take this message of today, apply them to our lives and our hearts. And Father, we just pray that you would guide and direct in the use of this church and the conviction of souls, Father, for salvation. For we pray these things in Jesus' name.